We're almost up to the end of Torah Memtes and Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Morans, it's page 136, the right-hand column, about a quarter of the way down the page. We mentioned earlier that this chapter in Likutei Moran was given as a shir on a Shabbos Sheva Brachas of one of Rabbi Nezal's daughters, his daughter Sarah, who married a certain Rabbi Yitzchak, and Rabbi Nezal went for the wedding to Medvedevka, and there, that Shabbos, he gave this shir. And in the shir, he included just about everything that was related to the wedding. He included the name of the chasen and kala. He included the topic of Shabbos. It was also Rosh Chodesh Nisan at the time, so he spoke about Nisan, the month of Nisan, and Rosh Chodesh especially. And he speaks about all the tikkunim that take place al pi Kabbalah related to getting married. The whole concept of tikkun of the malchus, the concept of the two shechinas, the upper shechina and the lower shechina, and how they're both connected, how they both rise. He spoke about the topic of tshuva, because Rabbi Nezal brings in another term in Likutei Moran, the days of Nisan are called days of tshuva. The reason being, the Gemara says that the month of Nisan is the month that Moshiach is supposed to come. Benisan nigalu, or benisan asidin ligoil. The Jews were taken out of Golos in Nisan, and they're going to go out of Golos also in Nisan, the Gemara says. And since we know that the Geula is dependent on tshuva, the Pasuk says, uvol etzion goel uleshove fesha biyakov, that the Goyel is going to come through Ulishave Pesha, through Tshuva. So if the month of Nisan is a month of Gula, it's also a month of Tshuva. That was also a major topic in this chapter in Likutei Moran. And Rabbi Nezal spoke about the topic of Ilev, purifying the heart, especially with Machshavos Kedoshos. He spoke about the whole topic of when Hashem created the world, how the Arizal explains it happened, how in order for there to be a creation, Kaviyochel Hashem had to be Metzamtzem the Oyer Litzdodin. Hashem had to constrict certain light. And Rabbi Nezal says, so too when a Jew wants to start a new creation, wants to start a new beginning in Tshuva, a person has to also know to constrict the light, in a sense, to constrict the Islavus, not to have too much fire, but rather to be able to control the Hislavus in serving Hashem, so that the person can start climbing midarga ladarga, from level to level. This was basically the topics that we discussed so far. Just to go off on it on a side thing for a second, related to the Sphira that we're counting now. These days, the Emea Sphira, are also considered to be special days of Tshuva. The whole concept of the 7 weeks that we count from Pesach till Shavuos represent the 7 days of, correspond to the 7 days of purification that a woman goes through before she's ready for a zivug. Before the, we mentioned that Shavuos represents the wedding, so that this is a time of purification. And in this chapter, Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nezal stressed that the main purification has to take place in the heart. That's where the machshavos begin, the battle between a person thinking machshavos kedoshos or hirhurim roim, those kind of things, that takes place especially in the heart, the machshavo shebelev, the yitzran shebelev. And one of the items that the Mefarshim bring about the Emea Sphira, the fact that we can't count 49 days specifically, because 49 is begimatria, lev toiv, a good heart. That's especially what we're looking to fix during these 49 days, to make the tikkun for this lev toiv, to purify the heart, regarding what Rabbi Nezal speaks about here, regarding machshavos kedoshos, being careful to think only good thoughts, not to think any bad thoughts, and specifically kavona salev in tefillah, making sure that when a person's davening, it's not just the mouth that's moving, but that the heart is very much in what they're saying. We'll continue from where we left off. This is like an appendix to this chapter on Likutei Moran. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Oid shomati dvorim hashayochim l'toyra zois. I heard certain additional items from Rav Nezal that are related to this chapter on Likutei Moran that we just completed, the Zehu, and these are the additional items. Number one, there's a Gemara that says in Yuma, Choroitze sheyinaseich yayin al gabi ha-mizbeach. If a person today, when there's no Beis HaMikdosh and there's no Mishkan, if a person today would want to get credit for the mitzvah of bringing nesochim on the Mizbeach, Nesochim was the special pouring of wine and water that was done through special holes in the Mizbeach, which led down to pipes leading down to the Evan Shesia. It's one of the major items that took place in the Beis HaMikdosh. The Gemara says, how do you do that today? Yemale groinom shel talmidei chachamim yayin. By giving wine to a Talmud Chacham, when the Talmud Chacham pours the wine down his throat, and it goes down the pipes in his body, the food pipe, that corresponds to those pipes in the Mizbeach down which they poured wine also. And a person literally can have a similar type of mitzvah and zechus to what took place in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdosh. An additional point, in this chapter on Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about Korban Oila, he spoke about the Korban Mincha, and now he's speaking about the Nesochim. Again, the reason being, because the Parsha Sashavua, at the time that he gave the Shir, was Vayikra Tzav, going into Chumash Vayikra, which deals with all the Korbanos. Rabbeinu Zal included that also within this Shir. So now Rabbeinu Zal explains, Ki Ikaruch Oelukus Hu Belev. We said earlier in this chapter that the main place of Hashem inside a person is within the heart of the person. Kemoi Shekosuv Tzur Levovi. As the Pasuk says, Tzur Levovi, and the word Tzur refers to Hashem. Kemoi Shekosuv Ve'ein Tzur Kelekenu. There's nothing as solid as Hashem Kaviyochel. And the Gemara Darshan's Ein Tzayor Kelekenu. There's no creator like Hashem, referring to the creation that we spoke about in the beginning of this chapter, which takes place inside the heart of a person. Ki ha-leiv hu ha-tzayor shel ha-midos. The heart is the one that creates and forms all the midos. In the spheros, when we talk about the spheros, the leiv represents bina. From bina comes forth chesed, gvura, teferes, netzach, hod, yesod, which represent the midos. Those are called the midos, those seven lower spheros, which bina is the one that forms them. Bina is the heart. So too within the heart of a person, to the extent that a person develops their heart properly, that's the extent that the person is able to start tikkun amidos and being able to do pu'ulos, which we learned earlier, that's the aliyah of the malchus tikdusha. So Rabbeinu Zal says, ki alev hu atzayor shel amidos. The heart is the creator of the midos. Hainu ha-chochma shebelev. This means the wisdom in a person's heart is what gives him the ability to be zecha to tikkun amidos. Ki koidem abriyo hoyo oir HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein sof kanal. Because we learned earlier that before Hashem created the world, in the beginning, there was only the infinite light of Hashem. Ayin shom heitev. Look in this chapter on the Likutei Moran where we discussed this earlier. Nimtzo. So therefore, based on what we learned earlier, when a person is zeichet to purify their heart to the extent where their heart is a vacuum, cholo means a vacuum, they've removed the yetzahara, they've gotten rid of the machshavos rois, bebechinas tzur levavi, they've made room for creation to take place inside their heart, hu bechinos brias oilam, then that person's heart is a concept of the creation of the world. And the opposite is also true. Kishahalev otum, when a person's heart is stuffed up with bad thoughts and bad feelings, bebechinas orla slave, as we find the terminology used in the Torah of a lave, a heart that's stuffed, who mekalkel sabriya, that person is considered to be destroying and spoiling creation. He's not allowing creation to take place. Kimavoyer lamala, as was explained earlier, ayin shom. The alkein, and therefore, hatzadik, sheli boy pasuach bechochma, the tzadikim, who have cleaned out from their hearts, they've gotten rid of everything they had to get rid of from their hearts, and therefore, their heart is wide open for chochma. There's a lot of room in there for this chochma, for this bria. Bebechinas velibi cholo bekirbi, their heart is vacant from what it's supposed to be vacant, and it's ready. It's like a person clears a building site for the construction to take place. Bechinas tzur levavi, al kein al yedeze yuchal lechadish ma'aseh bereishis. That's why tzaddikim have the ability to reenact creation. To just like when Hashem created the world, it was miracle, it was miraculous, it was creating something from nothing. So too, the tzaddikim that have purified their hearts, which is this tzur levavi, that's what gives them the ability also to do that type of creation, a creation that's lamala menateva, to perform miracles. This is one of the things that makes it possible for tzaddikim to make a chiddush ma'aseh bereishis and to perform miracles. The fact that they've done the same groundwork, the same preparation as Hashem did when it came to creation of the world. They do it in their hearts. Kama shekosuv uvetuvoi mechadesh b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis. There's a pasuk that says that with Hashem's goodness, He renews the creation every day. Rabbi Nizal says, uvetuvoi ze hatzadik. The word vetuvoi also represents tzadikim. Shenikra toiv. The tzadik is called toiv. Kamay shekosuv, imru tzadik ki toiv. The tzaddik is called toiv. So uvetuvoi, with Hashem's tzaddikim, mechadesh b'cholim tabin ma'aseh v'reishis. The tzaddikim are also able to duplicate this process of chidesh ma'aseh v'reishis. Ki leiv hatzaddik kanal, hu bechinas b'riyas oilam kanal. Because the tzaddik develops and perfects his heart in the same type of process that Hashem did when it came to creation of the world. Just like then, there was this tzimtzum pulling the oil at Stodin in order to make a chol aponoi, etc. The tzaddik does the same thing in cleaning out the heart from the machshava yisrois and making this tzimtzum yislavus in order for a bria to take place. Similar type of thing. V'zeh pirish masham razal. This is also connected to what the Gemara says in Sukkah. Chamuke yirei chayich kemoi chaloim ma'asei de omon. This is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The entire Shir HaShirim is filled with Hashem and the Shekhinah praising each other. And they describe different parts of the body, and this actually refers to much deeper things. So the Gemara says over there, what is this Chamuke Yirechayich? Yirechayich means the legs, the long legs in a sense. The Gemara darshins, Elu Hashitin Shemenukovim Umecholon Adatoim. This refers to those pipes that extended, the two pipes that extended downward in the Mizbeach and went all the way down to the depths of the earth, till the Tohoim. They represent these two long legs, in a sense. Ki Tohoim, hainu, bechinas, velibi, cholol bekirbi. This is also tied into this concept of purification of the heart, because by the heart, it uses this term, the heart is a vacuum, like Tohoim. Tohoim means the abyss. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, ki tohoim dolibo, that the tohoim represents the heart. A tzaddik who purifies his heart, by him his heart is this bechina of the tohoim, which the shitin reached down to, just like in the Mizbeach. There were the shitin that reached down to the tohoim. By the tzaddik, the pipes, the windpipe and food pipe by him, in a sense represent those shitin which reach down to the tohoim, which is the heart. Kemuva b'Zohar, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh. V'zeh chaloim ma'aseh yidei oman. The pasuk says over there, chaloim, that these pipes are hollow. These pipes are hollow, and they're the creation of a craftsman. Chaloim refers to this bechin of libi cholol bekirbi, the vacant heart. And ma'aseh yidei oman, ma'aseh yidei umenoseh shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara darshins over there, that this means that it's an act of creation of Hashem. That this shitin reaching down to the Tohoim is something that Hashem actually had in mind when He first created the world. Rabbi Nizal says, "Hainu shebechinois chaloim, hainu shemechulolin ad hatohoim, bechinas velibi chol bekirbi kanal, zebechinas brias oilam." This kind of this hollowness, where the tzaddik hollows out his heart from what he's supposed to, that is symbolic and that corresponds to this process of Chiddush Ma'aseh Bereishis, which is hinted to here in the words Ma'aseh Yidei Oman, the creation of the craftsman, of Hashem. Ki zehu b'chinos b'riyas olam, because this process of the tzaddik purifying his heart is actually a reenactment of the creation of the world. V'yidei zeh yuchal la'asos nisim b'olam kanal. And this is what enables the tzaddik to be able to perform miracles. V'zehu shemecholin ad hatohoim. This is also why it says that it's hollow and it reaches till the tohoim. Tohoim means abyss, and tohoim also means wonderment. What makes people wonder? A miracle. A miracle amazes people. Rabbi Nizal says, "Hainu bechinas nisim." The word tohoim also represents miracles. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says, "Vatehoim kol ho'ir." This is talking about Naomi. When Naomi returned, it says that the whole city was in wonderment, amazement. So we see that the word tohoim represents that which makes people be amazed, which means miracle. Mechulolin ada tohoim, the tzaddik purifies his heart, he makes it a bechin of tohoim, and that's what gives him the ability to be zeichet to this vatehoim, to perform miracles. Chiddush Ma'aseh Bereishis. She'al dovor nisi ha'koil t'meim. Because when it comes to a miracle, all are in amazement. This is why the Gemara says that if a person wants to do the pouring of the wine on the Mizbeach, the way to do it today is by filling the throats of Talmidei Chachamim with wine. Ki groinam ubechinas shitin shemechulolin adatohim. Because their throat represents the holes in the Mizbeach, which extended all, reached all the way down to the Tohoim. Heim kone velibo. The shitin and the Tohoim are the pipe, the windpipe, and the heart of the tzaddik. Vayidei hayayin niftach cholol halev. And we know the Gemara says that wine, when a tzaddik, when a person drinks wine properly, limited, not to get drunk, when a person drinks a little bit, it opens up the mind, it opens up the heart, it gives a person harchovas hadas and harchovas halev. That's why, that's how we bring in the Shabbos with Kiddush. Why? Because Shabbos, the person gets an neshama yisera. What are you supposed to do with an neshama yisera? You're supposed to have higher thoughts of Torah, reach higher hasagos. The way that we start that is with a little bit of wine. Wine is supposed to open the appetite, begashmius, and it's also supposed to open the mind and the heart, beruchnius. So we see, when we talk about it opening up the heart, it means, again, vacating the heart, making a place in the heart for chachma, which is the creation. Kulam b'chachma sisa. B'chinas v'libi cholo b'kirbi. This is the concept of vacating the heart from what it's supposed to be vacated, in order for a creation to take place. Ki chamro v'rechni pichin. Because the Gemara says that wine and besamim, wine and spices, give a person pichis, sechel. They open up a person's mind. So here also, the act of a tzaddik drinking wine, it opens up the heart, meaning it's part of this process of clearing out the heart from what it needs to be cleared out from, to prepare it for new chachma. New chachma means new bria, new creation. Creation is miracle. The concept of Bria Soilam is something that was way above the concept of nature. When Hashem created the world, He didn't create it with seeds, for example. He created trees and everything ready-made. That's a concept of Nes. Like a tzaddik sometimes, when he wants to do something, wants to make something happen, and it doesn't take 20 years for it to happen, what would normally take 20 years or 100 years, the tzaddik can make it happen in a moment, just as when Hashem did it in the creation of the world. V'alkein kol hamemale groinom ki'ilo menaseh yayin al gabi hashitin shemenukovim umuchulol amadatoim kanal. And that's why the Gemara says that a person who pours wine on these shitin, on the pipes of each tzaddik, it's like he's pouring it in the mizbeach, reaching down to the tohoim. Kan choser k'tzas devorim. Rav Nosson Zal says that there were some additional things that Rabbeinu Zal had said here, which he didn't write down, which kiloi nichtav bizmanoi, it wasn't written down at the time, v'nishkach k'tzas, and therefore, unfortunately, some of it was forgotten. And whenever a person sees this line, to me personally, speaks, you know, has a very, very important message. The one who's writing this was one of the most brilliant minds in the past hundreds of years. Proof is, you look at his sforim, you see that it appears as if this person didn't forget much that he learned. You see his encyclopedic knowledge of Tanakh. Every pasuk in Tanakh is right at his fingertips. Every Gemara in Shas, every item in the Zohar Kodesh. You look at his forum, Likutei Halachos, Likutei Tefilos. It's literally just bringing the whole Torah in and it's just gushing out of his mouth. And this super encyclopedia wrote about himself that there were certain times that he heard a shir. He didn't write it down immediately, and therefore, unfortunately, some of it was forgotten. How much more so this applies to us? Unfortunately, people don't realize how much it's worth for ourselves, for our children, or for our friends. Very often a person is asked, you know, what did you learn? Or what did you, a person attended a shir, what did you hear? A person is asked a day after the shir, 2 days after the shir, and they can't repeat it. Why? The answer is why? Because they're not an angel. They're a human being. And most human beings, unless you write it down, the odds are that you're going to forget it. You might forget it in a day. Or even if you remember most of it, you'll forget something. As in his case, he wrote that the vast majority of what he heard, he certainly remembered, but certain things he forgot. And some of this, a person, it takes a strength on the part of a person to be responsible to themselves, responsible to nobody else, to see to it that a person should, that what a person learns, to try to take whatever precautions they can take, not to forget it. It shouldn't go lost. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds one additional point. One of the items that Rav Nosson Zal mentioned earlier, he spoke about the fact that the hasogos of the tzaddik are dependent on Bnei Yisrael. it's not that the tzaddik is free to rise and climb on his own, because the Gemara says that the main reason why Hashem gives the tzaddik wisdom and the ability to soar is to serve the Jewish people, to serve Bnei Israel. When the Jews become unworthy of that, then the tzaddik is not given permission to soar, to fly, because Hashem says, what do I need you to fly? The whole purpose that I need you is for them. Just as the Gemara gave the example, which Rabbeinu Zal quoted, when the Jews started worshipping the golden calf, and Moshe Rabbeinu was up in heaven, flying around, Hashem said to him, Lech reid, ki shichei samcha. Reid, go down from Lech, Lamed Chof, the 50th level. You're on the 50th level of wisdom now. What are you doing there? I put you there to be able to bring the Jews a lot of wisdom. The moment they make themselves unworthy of it, forget it. I don't need you there anymore, Hashem said, go down. And Rabbeinu Zal said, therefore, unfortunately, there are gaps in the tzaddik's growth. There are certain times, sometimes this could be a minute, sometimes it could be an hour, a week, a month, a year, where the tzaddik is held in stop mode. He can't proceed because of this, because of our problems, because of the problems of Bnei Yisrael. And then Rabbeinu Zal said, when the moment the light turns green, the tzaddik has to run, especially fast, to make up for the lost time. This is something Rabbeinu Zal mentioned earlier. Now, and Rabbeinu Zal based this on a pasuk, Yosis kigibur lo rutzoirach, that the tzaddik girds himself with tremendous strength to run that path, that oirach, that highway that he had been held back from for that period of time. Now he wants to make up for the lost time. Rab Nosson Zal writes, Rabbeinu Zal said earlier, kitzorich his gabrus godoil. This takes tremendous strength. For the tzaddikim to run and make up for that lost distance that they could have traveled during the time that the Jews were in a low madrega. And now, when the tzaddik, when the gate opens up and the tzaddik's allowed to start running again, he runs super fast to make up for that lost time and distance. Rav Nosson Zal says now, Bo'es she'omar zois ha'toyro, shamati oz mipiv ha'kodosh inyin zeh bebir yoyse. When Rabbeinu Zal was giving this shir, I heard him expound on this a little bit more. She'omar beferish inyin zeh le'inyin b'nei odom ha'zeichen la'asos tshuva al hovar. That Rabbeinu Zal said that this doesn't only apply to tzadikim, this applies especially to people that do tshuva, people who for a certain period of time weren't religious, and then they become religious. Or a person was on a certain level of religion, and then they become more religious. In any case, there's this concept of feeling that before I wasn't what I am now. For Omar and Rabbeinu Zal said, She'af al pi she'zoichin l'sakein ma she'ovar, even though a Jew is zoiched to fix certain mistakes that they made in the past, to correct certain averos that they did in the past, how? By doing mitzvahs, or by doing tshuva, by crying, by through all kinds of ways that a person makes a tikkun for the past. Afal pikein, adayon hechon hu oisoy hazman, sho yirochoykem Hashem isborach. Fine, the averos were erased, but what about the hours? What about the minutes that could have been used? The fact that at the same time the person was doing the avera, they weren't doing a mitzvah at that time. They could have been doing a mitzvah at the same time. How do you make up? Show you chol lavoy des Hashem isbara po yisayzman ubevadai tzrichem lesakin zois. And a person certainly has to fix that also. In addition, how do you fix it? Dahainu lahashlem ulamalois esu avoido show you chol lavoy des Hashem isbara bechol oisay hoeis show you nezayf melafanu isbara chorochayk mimeno, which means to make up for all the Avoida, serving Hashem, that could have been done during that time that they were far away from Hashem. Al kain, achar shezeichem lehisoyer l'tshuva. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal said, when a person finally wakes up and decides to do tshuva, tzrichen zrizus godoil b'avoidos yisborach. That person can't be moving at regular speed. That person has to be going very fast, rushing to do mitzvahs, rushing to learn a lot, velorutz ma'oid ma'oid, and to run very, very quickly, kidei sheyizke al yidei zrizus avoidosoi, lesakein ulahashlim gam chisorin ha'avoido shel hayomim shovru. So that by working fast, the person will be able to make up for the time, for the avoidos Hashem that they didn't do in those days past. If a person knows that the average Jew does 200 mitzvahs a day, A Baal Tshuva has to want to do 400, 600, 800 to pack it in more, each time trying to be misakin yesterday and the day before to try to go back to finish, fix all the previous days in this Gilgal. Then when you finish with this Gilgal, to go back and try to be misakin even previous. Who knows what I did in a previous Gilgal to try to make up for any lost time along the way. Ki achshav tzoruch lorutz b'mehirus godoil zeh haderech sheyoyochel leilech b'zman sheyorochek mashem izborach. Because now that the person finally realizes the importance of Hashem and Torah and mitzvahs, the person has to rush and run very quickly the distance that they could have gone during that period of time when they were far from Hashem. V'omar la'anoshov bozeh haloshein. And Rabbeinu Zal used the following words to his own students. Again, his students, many of them were big Talmidei Chachamim. But from the time they met him, they changed dramatically. From when they spent a year with him or a month with him, there were major changes that took place in them, where compared to how religious they felt at that point, the level they were on before that was like zero or very little in comparison. And they also had to have this feeling of being a Baal Tshuva and wanting to make up for the past when they weren't anywhere near, as they didn't feel anywhere near as much as they felt at that time. So Rabbeinu Zal said, Ir darf sich zeir yogin. You have to rush very quickly. Ir zolt noch kennen epis chaffen. You should be able to grab something still, implying that the clock is spinning, time is flying, days are going by, days and nights rushing. A person has to really try to rush to grab mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, to grab a page of chumash, a page of gemara, each one on their level, to try to make sure that when the accounting is done at the end, they'll have at least amassed something, or have at least gotten as much as they could during that period of time. It's interesting, there's an expression in Pirkei Avos where it talks about a Jew coming before the heavenly court, and it uses the term din v'cheshbon, that each and every single Jew, it says a person has to know where he came from and where he's going to, v'lifnei mi ato osed litein din v'cheshbon, and before whom you're going to have to give a judgment and an accounting. So the Meforshim ask, what's judgment and what's accounting? And one of the answers that's given is, din means to atone for the actual Avera. In other words, for what a person did in going against Hashem. Cheshbon, accounting, means what about that minute, that hour that you were doing the Avera, that extra hour of sleep that wasn't necessary, or those extra 15 minutes sitting at the table eating, when you finished eating, you didn't need any more food, you were just grabbing an extra nash, a little more, to account for that time. That's this concept of din v'cheshbon. It includes both of those items. Baruch Hashem. Any questions?
Here you say that the person about Shiva has to rush. And in another Torah we said when somebody wants to be mikarev, you tell him abden. How do you
very
rectify that?
Very valid question, and very true, and very difficult. Rabbeinu Zal, in one place, this topic is discussed in several places, not just in that place. There's one place in Likut Imran where Rabbeinu Zal describes one of the differences between tzaddik versus Baal Tshuva as saying that tzaddikim are supposed to go very slowly. In other words, because in a sense, they represent the kind of person who's walking through a garden, and the garden has all kinds of beautiful flowers and everything, and there, and if he wants to put together a bouquet, like to give the king, he can't rush. If he rushes, he's going to miss out on different special flowers. So he's got to go very slowly, picking and choosing. Each time he sees one that's a little bit different from the other, you know, grabbing it, putting it in. Whereas Baal Tshuva, Rabbeinu Zal says over there, he has to rush. Why rush? Because he's got to rush to get away from what he's got to get away from. Now, there's the way the word Baal Tshuva is being used here. It's implying somebody that was that's in a bad place, or that was recently in a very bad place. And until he gets himself far enough away from that bad place to be safe, we tell him, run. This is the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. When on Pesach, we eat matzah. Why do we eat matzah? Because the Jews had to run. Chipozoin. Whereas, as soon as we get... And how long do we do that? For 7 whole days. 7 days of running for our lives. Rush. Baal Tshuva running. After that, once there's a Kriyas Yamsuf, then we say, slow down, hold your horses. At Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem already gave the Jews a tremendous hasaga. He opened up the light to them, where they were able to receive such a level of purification that from that moment on, the running stopped, either from that moment or to a certain extent even before that, from Sfiras Omer. As soon as they brought the Korban Omer, which represented a certain Korban of Tshuva, Minchas Knois, different things, from that point, we start counting 1 day, 2 days. When you count, you're not running. When you're counting, you're going much slower. You count something when time's taking a long time, you know, you're counting.
There was no Korban Omer in the desert, was there?
No, but still, the fact that the mitzvah was given at that time, it was declared, it means that's when this era, so that both are true and both are necessary. Okay. And it could happen to a person in 1 day. In 1 day, a person can be Baal Tshuva, a person can have to run at one point in the day when he feels he's being pulled down to a certain place of tumah, he's got to run. Or if he feels he wasted a couple of hours, person wakes up later than they wanted to wake up, or a person gets off to a later start, he's got to do some running to make up for the lost time. And then as soon as he's gotten to a certain level of comfort in that making up for the lost time, then there's this concept of slow and carefully. And with the running also, there's the danger of running too fast and tripping. We know that running is a great idea. A person wants to get somewhere fast, you run. But you run, there's a risk factor involved also of tripping, falling, breaking this, and then you end up getting there 6 hours later, you end up being slowed down much worse. The same thing is true, Baruch Nias.
So you have the thing that B'nai Yisrael, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, took him down Shloshet Yamim Bamidbar, 3 days away, one fell swoop.
Exactly. But then afterwards, they had to go back. 40 years. They had to go in circles, slow. There was a tremendous hamtona. Rav Nosson says that Shavuos, we eat Shavuos, the korban was specifically chametz, because then once you finish that running, then you're told, go habolet taher oimrim loy hamtein. When a person wants to become toher, he's gotten out of what he was supposed to get out of, then he's got to go through a waiting period. And that waiting is one of the most difficult tests, especially for Baal Tshuva. Because the concept of Baal Tshuva is impatient. If there's anybody that knows that he's got to run, this is the person. And then Hashem says, and he starts running, and Hashem, of all the worst things Hashem could possibly say to him, Hashem says, wait. What do you mean, where? How can I wait? I have to make up for 10 years lost time. How are you going to make up for it? By waiting, by passing that test of realizing that because you lost time, for you to want it now, right away, to grab it, not worthy. And if a person goes through a certain minimal period of waiting that Hashem understands each person has to go through, then the person gets what they're supposed to get. But this is both drachim are necessary and important. I'm sure it's not coincidental that this is Torah Mem Tes on Likutei Moran, related to what we said earlier about Sfira, about Tshuva, about Lev Tov, all of these things being connected. Okay. The next chapter, Torah Nun, again begins with the words Loshoin Rabbeinazal, which means that this is exactly verbatim the way this shir was written down in Rabbeinazal's notes. Which means usually it's a little bit more difficult than when it's Rav Nosson Zal's writing, where he usually elaborates more and explains more. Rabbeinu Zal's wording is usually a little bit tighter. Rabbeinu Zal bases this shir on a pasuk in Tehillim, where it says, "Hatzilo mecherev nafshi miad kelev yichidosi." Dovra Melech is saying to Hashem to save him from the sword and from the dog. Rabbeinu Zal begins, "Ki kol ha-poigem bibris." If a person messes up in items related to Bris Kodesh, that person will not be able to daven a tefillah that's in the form of Kol Atzmoisai Toimarno, where every single part of their body and soul gets involved in the tefillah, which means a certain shlemus of tefillah. And when a person is not zoche to daven on this level of kol atzmoisai tamarno, azai kalbo nochis viochil korbonoi, then a dog comes down and receives his korban, his sacrifice, his tefillah. It's brought in the Gemara that during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when Hashem wanted to show that a korban was being well received by Hashem, they would see an image of a lion coming down to take up the korban, to receive the sacrifice. If Chas V'Shalom Hashem wanted to show a dissatisfaction, they would see the form of a dog coming down to receive this korban. A dog represents a tame animal in this sense. Rabbi Nezal says now, so azai kalba nochis vach ochel korbanoi. The Gemara uses the wording that a dog comes down and eats his korban. Hainu tfilosoi. The tefillah is in place of a korban. The tefillahs that we have today are b'mokim tmidim. Ukishem mispalel v'toyem mesikus b'dibur yatefillah. And when a person is zeichet to daven and to feel a sweetness in the words of tefillah that they're davening, zoy sabachino nikras kol atzmoisai toymarno. That's what's called davening Tashem with all my bones. It means a person being able to feel a certain thrill in speaking Tashem, in davening Tashem. Ve'ein yochoy litoim mesikus betfilo elo kishetikein pegam abris. And it's a person can't really feel the true sweetness of tefillah until the person is zeicher to fix what that needs to be corrected in pegam abris. Ki mayin mesikin zebechinas mayin dachyon zera koidish shmiras abris. Rabbein Ezal here is keying in to certain phrases that the Zohar HaKadosh uses. The Zohar HaKadosh uses the term sweet tefillah is compared to water. The pasuk says, "Shifchi kamayim libech noicha pnei Hashem," to pour out our hearts and souls to Hashem like flowing water. Water, we know there's sweet waters and there's bitter waters. The Torah says the Jews came to a certain place, they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. The Zohar HaKadosh explains that sweet water versus bitter water represents the difference between tikkun abris and pegam abris, because the bris is, the zera is also an inyan of a liquid. The zera dikdusha, tikkun abris, is an inyan of mayin mesikin. It's an inyan of shleimus hatfila, where a person is zeche to feel a sweetness in davening tashem, and pegam abris is chas v'shalom the opposite. Umi shehu bebechinas mayin mesikin, azai diburov mesukim v'toivim. A person who's zeichet to tikkun abris, this mayim mesikin, then his words are sweet and good. Ukisheyotze mipiv umashmiya la'oznov, and when that person's words come out of their mouth, and their ears hear what the mouth is saying, k'may shekosuv, as the Gemara says, hashmeya la'oznecho mashatamotze mipicho, that when it says Shema Yisrael, it means that when a person davens, other than the Shemayna Esrei, a person must make sure that they're davening with their ears hear what's being said. Azai nichnosim mesikus hamayin l'toich atzmoisov. Then the sweetness of this water, of the tefillah, goes back into the bones of the person. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, ushmua toivo tidshan tidashen etzem. When a person hears good news, that nourishes the bones, it fills the bones. The Gemara tells the story of the Roman emperor who, when Rabbi Yochanan, when people, he was putting on his shoes, and when a soldier rode up to tell him, he was a general at the time, or a king, and a soldier rode up to tell him that the emperor in Rome had died, and that he was about to take over as the new emperor, he tried to put on his second shoe, it didn't fit. He tried to take off the first shoe, he couldn't get it off. So he asked Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, what's going on here? Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai told him it's based on this pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says that good news fattens up a person, and it uses the word specifically, it fattens the bones. So Rabbi Nezal says here, Ushmua toiva, when a person zeicher to daven a good tefillah, a pure tefillah, and they hear their words of tefillah go into their own ears, then it fattens their bones. Those words go inside the bones of the person. Exactly. Ukisha atzomois margishin mesikus hadiburim, and when the person's bones feel the sweetness of his words, Zebechinas kolatzmoisai toimarna. All my bones are speaking. What does it mean they're speaking? Not the bones are literally talking. That the bones are being nourished and fattened and filled from the toimarna, from my amirah. My words are giving a chias into my bones. Va'oz arye nochis v'ochil korbonei. And then a lion comes down and eats that person's korban, eats that person's tefillah. In other words, when a person is zeichet to that shleimus tefillah through tikkun abris, then the person is zeichet to have this symbol of the lion taking up his tefillah. Ki etzem zebechinas arye, because bones correspond to the lion. The Zohar HaKadosh and the Sifrei Kabbalah talk about the relationships between many different items that come in sets of four. The four letters of Hashem's name, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, corresponding to the four directions, Mizrach, Ma'arav, Dorum, Tzofim, corresponding to the four elements of creation, Eish, Ruach, Mayim, Ofor, corresponding to the four levels of creation, Doimeim, Tzameach, Chai, Medaber, corresponding to the four Chayois, HaMerkovo, Aryeh, Shoer, Nesher, Odom, corresponding to the four aspects of the human physiology, which are the bones, Etzem, Bosor, Gidin, and Oyer. The bones, the flesh, the veins and arteries, all of those pipes, and the skin. So Etzem corresponds to Aryeh. To the extent that a person zochet et tikkun habris, where their tefillah comes forth in such a way that it nourishes the atzmos, and the person zochet to this kol atzmos haytoim arno, they plug into this Aryeh nochis lechol korbonoi. Avol mishe pogam bebrisoi, but a person who's chas v'shalom pogim in bris, who bebechinas mayin meririn, that person is in the state of bitter waters. Bebechinas v'lo yochlu lishtois mayim imora. As the Torah says, the Jews came to a place where they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. Mayin misoavin. This refers to impure waters. Zera tome. This refers to zera that's impure. Azai ein yochoy lispalel bebechinas kol atzmoisoy tamarno. Then the person is not able to daven this type of tefillah, which brings a chiyus to the atzmois, which plugs them into the lion. Va'oz kalbonochis. And then chas v'shalom, the person is plugged into the kelev. Shehu bechinas mayin meririn. That's this concept of the bitter waters. Shetzovach hav. The Zohar HaKadosh talks about a tefillah, a good tefillah, versus a bad tefillah. In one place, when it wants to speak about a bad tefillah, those Jews that don't do mitzvahs, they don't do anything to please Hashem, and yet every day they come to Hashem saying, Hashem, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. The Zohar HaKadosh compares it to dogs barking. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, when a dog barks, what sound does it make? Hav, hav. Hav in Aramaic means give. These people who are unworthy, they don't do what Hashem wants, and then they come to ask Hashem for things, their tefillah is compared to this kalbanochis. V'hu bechinas moro de islo trepios. And this represents a certain bitterness that has a double edge to it. V'hu bechinas cherev pifios. This represents a sword, a double-edged sword. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when Amal, and I think the Gemara mentions this also, that when a Malach HaMoves comes to take a person's neshama, the Malach HaMoves has a cherev, and on the tip of his cherev is a certain mora, a certain poison. And when he touches the person with that poison, that's what kills the person, that's what takes away the neshama. So here Rabbein Ezra mentions this mora, the islo tre piyos, v'ubechinas cherev pifiyos, bechinas gehenim, the islo tre bonois shetzvochin hav. This refers to Gehenim, which has a concept of two daughters that also stand in the entranceway of Gehenim screaming hav, give. They want to grab as many customers as they can. They want to get as many clients into Gehenim as they can. Chas v'shalom. Rabbein Ezal says, v'zeh b'chinas choylas shekoyrin brechenish rachmona letzlan. This is also associated with a certain type of illness of the bones, chas v'shalom, where the bones, chas v'shalom, break. They become brittle and they break apart. Excuse me?
Rickets, no.
I'm not sure. Excuse me?
Osteoporosis.
Could be. These types of sicknesses which cause a deterioration and a breakdown of the bones, chas v'shalom. V'zeh machmas kilkul hamoyach shebat somois. It comes about because of the fact that the bone marrow has become spoiled. Bechinas mayin misoavin, based on these impure waters, mayin maririn, these bitter waters, shebo hacholas hazois machmas taivas niuf. Rabbein Ezal says that this illness comes at times as a result of taivas niuf. V'zeh shenitztavinu b'korban pesach. This is why Hashem said to the Jews when it came to the korban pesach, v'etzem loy sish beruboy. That when you're eating the meat of the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to break the bones to suck out the marrow. the kosu bezoyar, and it's brought in the Zoyar HaKadosh, shoyumekaimen ba'atzamois lakelev tashlichan oisoi. That what did the Jews do with the bones? They threw it to the dogs. Why? These dogs that were quiet, when the Pasuk says, ulechol b'nei Yisrael lo yechratz kelev l'shoinoi, the dogs didn't bark at the Jews when they were supposed to be quiet. They were given a reward, in a sense, to be given these bones. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that this was very difficult and painful for the Egyptians. Why? Why did Hashem say this? The reason why the Jews were told to do this was a barometer. This was a way for each Jew to measure what level of Tikkun HaBris he was on, how high a level of Tikkun HaBris he was on. Because about the Korban Pesach it's written that anyone that didn't have a bris milah wasn't allowed to eat Korban Pesach. So we see therefore that the Korban Pesach is tied into Tikkun HaBris. Because one of the Korban Pesach is tied into the mitzvah of milah. It's brought that it's those two bloods when it says Vo'erech mizboiseses bidomayich. Vo'emar loch bidomayich hayi. Bidomayich hayi. Hashem said to the Jews that as a result of the blood they were taken out of Mitzrayim, which two bloods? Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. These two are very much connected to each other. U'kisheishlichu esatzmoisav laklovim. And when the Jews threw the bones to the dogs, v'ro'u im sholtu behem haklov m'chasashom, and they saw whether the dogs were able to get ownership of the bones or not. The Jews saw that if the dog grabbed his bones and was able to get hold of it, then the person knew that their tikkun habris was not the way it was supposed to be. This is what's brought in the Zohar HaKadosh. Al tihiyu kisus kifered ein hovin b'mesek vores nedi levoyim bal kroy ve'lecho. It says over there a person should not be like a horse or like a mule le'inyin tumas habris. And the Zohar HaKadosh over there says that that refers to the issue of Tikkun HaBris. A person shouldn't conduct themselves like an animal, but rather to conduct themselves with restraint, with dignity, when it comes to this issue of Tikkun HaBris. The Zohar HaKadosh brings a remez over there that the first letters of Bemeseg, Voresen, Edyoi, Livloim make up the word Boyel, referring to Be'ila, the issue of Tikkun HaBris. Umevi haposik v'haklovim azei nefesh ayin shom. And the Zohar HaKadosh over there again brings this posuk that dogs have chutzpah, referring to a person who's poigim in bris, who lacks the dignity and the restraint that a person has to have regarding this issue. Bechein, therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, mi shepogam bebrisoi, if a Jew is impure in tikkun habris, yishmoy resatzmoy miklovim umecherev, that person has to watch out from dogs or from the sword, because these two things can have a shlita on that person. And this is what David HaMelech started off with saying, Hatzilo mecherev nafshi miyad kelev yichidosi, I should be protected from the cherev and the kelev.